the Web 2.0 Mapping and Social Networks Meetup Group podcast. I'm Catherine Burton, owner of Endpoint Environmental and lead organizer of the Web 2.0 Mapping and Social Networks Meetup Group. Our meetup is about sharing, teaching, learning, and networking around current and future geospatial and social networking applications and technology. We meet on the third Tuesday evening of every month at Google headquarters in Mountain View, California. I'll be hosting this monthly podcast series, which is generously sponsored by Directions Magazine and produced by Endpoint Environmental and Back 5 Productions. This podcast features Craig Rosa, interactive producer of public television station KQED Quest. Craig will share with us his insights on the development and management of Quest's new interactive website. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Craig. As you heard earlier, I'm from KQED, and just want to thank everyone for coming. This is a much bigger crowd than I anticipated, so I'm a little bit starstruck, especially by all the great projects and companies that are in the room. I work for KQED, which is San Francisco and Northern California PBS affiliate. So we're a nonprofit media organization. The project I specifically work on is called Quest. Has anyone here heard or seen Quest? Cool. And Quest is, just pop over here really quick. Quest is KQED's first effort at what we call a cross-platform, cross-editorial program, which means that we wanted to cover science, environment, and nature in Northern California. But instead of having the television silo, the radio silo, and at the very end of that, those folks coming down and handing DVDs and MP3s to the web people and say, webify it, that we were going to have a program that we come up with the stories we need to cover first and then figure out what is the best way to tell this story, which one or more of these platforms is going to help us get across our story best. So just to give you an overall sense of scope, it launched in early 2007. So we're a fairly new program by PBS standards. We have 20 half-hour TV shows and videos per year. It's a weekly Radio Quest broadcast. We do monthly online explorations, which are these online science hikes, which, as you'll see, are the nightmare that Rico was talking about that we want to get away from. We also publish photographs, and we've published in our first year around 1,000 of them so far, and we get hundreds of photographs from our users and visitors. We have a daily science blog called the Quest Community Science Blog. We get all our TV and radio plus web-only video and audio pieces out, distributed via RSS. The main places are iTunes, Moreau, and AMP. We of course put stuff up on YouTube. And we're one of the founding, we're one of the first people to join the launch of iTunes U. Lastly, we have a full-time education person who produces community education and school guides. So it's a pretty comprehensive program, and we're thinking about this. You know, KQED is a local place. I mean, it's a local PBS affiliate. We do some national shows, something like, you know, Jean-Michel Cousteau's Ocean Adventures, you know, cooking shows like Jacques Pepin. But our show is local. What does it mean to serve your local audience? And we let that, as we were planning the site, really drive the design for the site. So instead of just having a list of what the upcoming stories were, we said, you know what, location matters. People want to know if there's, you know, we're covering a particularly toxic site or, you know, and you know, progress on the tunnel, a double slide. Place matters, and we wanted to reinforce that science, environment, and nature is in your neighborhood. These aren't abstract concepts, global things. Like, the environment is often touted as this, and it is, but it's this global thing. Like, when you ask kids what they think about the environment, they immediately say rainforest. Well, we don't have rainforest in the Bay Area. We have just about every other microclimate, but we don't have rainforest. So we wanted to help people see what that is. So instead of having a list, we said, you know, what the heck? Why don't we make the main way you access from the front page of content map and show people also that cross-platform, cross-editorial approach that we're taking and show the kinds of content we have. We have, blue TVs for video, green radio icons for audio, You can't really see it on the screen, but you know, the blog posts that we have are in pink and the online science hikes in orange. This always shows the last, using the Google Maps API, it always shows the last 20 things that we've produced at any given time. So for us, we wanted to make place and say this should matter to you and about your place right up front. So that's what we were thinking about in terms of that. So if we go in and say, so from there, we thought, well, the map is cool, but nowadays, destination sites aren't what they used to be. Your content has a life. Each individual piece of content, each page, has a life beyond just the destination you host for it. So especially if we're going to be, fulfill our public mission, if we're going to give content away, encourage people to download it, perhaps even remix it, we need to include in our content for people to consume the geodata that's there. So our mantra became geotag everything, everything you can. So the reason I gave you that big, showed you that big list is what I wanted to do is spend 5 or 10 minutes telling you how, by hook or by crook, we are geotagging almost all of those types of content. Because there wasn't one solution, so we're trying, a variety of different things. So, first things first is that the biggest part of this, as you would guess, and probably the most expensive or the most resources are, is in the production of the broadcast television pieces. Of the 20 or so people that work on Quest, 12 of them are television producers, editors, business managers, etc. So, since right now there isn't, from our perspective, a great way to embed geodata within a video piece, we just went with the geo micro format for the web page that hosts that. So up here you can see we kind of throw the latitude and longitude up there, but also embedded in the page if you had, let's say, if your web browser has the operator plugin or something that's geo-aware, and also Google searchers are now starting to index and catch on with some of this, as are some of the other search engines. This page has expressly that point associated with it. So going from here, since it's an integrated thing, with each of these video pieces, the producers blog about it and share their notes and their experiences. You can see up here that we have the latitude and longitude there as well. We use WordPress for our blog, so we installed the GeoPress plugin by the provided by the Mapufacture folks. And so now every post, every page, and also the various feeds that are spat out from here are geotagged. So that way, each individual post every day has that associated with it. I was just going to pull up, imagine if you will, seeing an RSS feed code view. I was going to show you that we declare the geo RSS spec schema also in both of our feeds, so that as that content gets indexed and as the players evolve, like iTunes and Miro and Adobe Media Player, which are kind of the three that we look at the most. As those become location aware, our content will be ready. A lot of the stuff we decided back in late 2006, early 2007 is we don't know where the GeoWeb is going, but damn it, we're going to be prepared. Everything's going to be geotagged, and if we don't do cool stuff with it. Because I'm the only interactive producer on this project. There's a part-time person that helps out. So I can't do it all. So I'm really looking forward to our audience making mashups and doing cool stuff with our content. So let me go to an exploration really quick. Explorations are an idea which I think is a good idea. But we wanted to do a science hike mashup where we go out with an expert. Let me pull up this one. For a great place to go in the Bay Area that has amazing things, and we would do a science hike. We'd go out with a scientist or a ranger and really show you the great stuff that's there. It looks great on the web page, and it's fun to click around, but the part we have not yet figured out, and we're going to try to address in Season 3, is how do you take it with you? Because believe it or not, when we designed these, Mind Maps didn't exist. KML was not a standard that we... either we're comfortable with or did a good job or was developed, for our needs yet. So these things are, you know, they're a great mashup between, you know, Flickr sets and the Google, you know, the Google Maps, but they're not portable. So we definitely want to make these things more portable and transportable. I also wanted to highlight that in addition to posting our own photos, we create Flickr pools that are then pulled in around. Each time we do an exploration, we create a pool and say, hey, have you been here? Do you like it? Send us your photos. And we go out on Flickr, and we've been creating community that way around that love of place. And if you've ever been to someplace like Briones Regional Park, it's astonishingly beautiful. And the Bay Area is filled with amazing photographers and creative people. So these are all amazing contributions from, you know, from people in our community. In this area, one, if we can make these things really portable and we can continue to grow this community, we think the explorations in their second iteration are going to be really cool. Lastly, you know, we do put everything up on YouTube. Actually, you know, starting in season two, we put some of our best stuff up in season one, but a previous speaker talked about those legal issues for a media production company or broadcast. At the time, there was some resistance to putting all that stuff up there. That was overcome. But ever since we have been putting up there, we've got 40 or so of our segments up there. We've been using the built-in tools in YouTube to geotag that. And what's great is about being in a cross-platform production where I sit there with the TV producers, the education producer, the radio producer, the executive producer, the producer, everyone around, and, you know, kind of a pit, we call it the Quest Corral, and is that we all agreed early on that location data, geo data, is a requirement. It's a deliverable for everybody, for every piece of content, and that came from the executive producer on down. So as a web producer, I don't have to chase everybody down. We all agree that location is important. And using, you know, Google Earth, Google Maps, or even just, you know, an address, I'm in the great position of having that at my disposal. So what's next? You know, what's next is that, you know, we feel like we're ready for location-aware media. We are so psyched about the new iPhone. We're going to look at that as a development platform, not as an end unto itself, but certainly is a great place to start, because we feel that now that we've got all this geotagged content, it really, and we've been thinking about it a while, we could make an iPhone app that would be location-aware. One thing that's come out of this is that I think the whole company is starting to understand that GeoWeb is really, really important. As a matter of fact, KQED will be launching an entirely new ground-up version of its website in the next 2 weeks. And introduced into that were revisions to the overall KQED CMS that adds latitude and longitude with the proper MySQL tables to do relational locations and not just single points, but be able to, it's stored properly according to, I'm not a database person, I'm not saying that right, but I hope you get it. Another thing is that, so basically, our arts programming, our food programming, our news, future things about history, all of that from here forward, starting in 2 weeks, will have the ability to be location aware. So,
sort of at a programmatic level, what sort of links do you see between sort of science nature program like this and news? We do have sort of like unfolding natural disasters here.
Right.
The balloon ones underground and the big ones up on the hill.
Sure. I mean, I think that's a huge question across the entire PBS system and news in general is, you know, how to make that connection between stuff that's happening in your neighborhood. There's a lot of great startups, every block being an example. There's, you know, other sites, for example. But for instance, a food program. Our food, our Check Please restaurant reviews and site, they made a simple Google Maps mashup. It got over 100,000 views very, very quickly, and it's growing. It is now one of, if you zoom into San Francisco, you'll see that as one of those popular, you know, most popular maps. Arts, obviously, reviews, discussion, all that kind of stuff around place, I think makes sense even more outside of science than it does in some other areas. Yes,
especially in San Francisco a few years ago, people were working under Catherine Austin Phipps developing community asset-based mapping.
Okay.
And this seems like a hugely, huge potential for doing that instead of just manual maps. Go in and map all the resources in the community and then do economic management around that?
Mm-hmm. Right, and I would say that from our education and outreach perspective, I mentioned earlier that we created 20 educator guides. They're PDFs, they're downloadable, they're rather static. For season three, our education coordinator, who we always refer to as just our education producer, she's thinking that season three, we may not make any PDFs at all. In fact, the last PDF that she wanted to make was one is how to make an exploration, how to use Google Maps in your classroom. In fact, she just came here as one of the, you know, for the workshop 2 weeks ago, the Teachers Institute, to learn even more about that. So her thought is that she wants to start our main thrust of Quest in the Classroom will be map making, locative media, media making in the classroom that's more than just text media or image media around science.
Sure. So, do you produce or sponsor all this content, or do you accept content from the outside?
Right now, we're producing the vast majority of the content. I mean, we do have a group of seven or eight bloggers that are outside of our organization that blog for us on the community blog, and more coming. And of course, the photographs. People have contributed, outside of KQED have contributed as many photographs as inside. In terms of user contributed, or what we say community contributed content on the video or audio side, not so much. I think we're going to have to grow into that. It's a capacity issue. It's everything we can do to produce our own content and the resources we have as a nonprofit and a public media affiliate. But we'd love to, over time, we're really just halfway through our second year, invite the community to help us produce pieces, and we'll put those on the map as well.
Cool. All right. Thank you. Well, I do hope you got something useful or interesting out of our humble meetup group podcast. It's a pleasure to put together for you. If you want more information about our meetup, log on to web.meetup.com/49. If you have ideas, thoughts, concerns, or questions, please email podcast@endpointenvironmental.com. Until next time, I'm Catherine Burton. Thanks for listening.